Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the first letter of St. Peter, the first chapter, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. What is the biggest letdown in your life? Maybe somebody made you a promise as a child and was not able to carry that out, or maybe just flat out lied to you. Maybe you've had expectations of a particular event or something happening in your life. Maybe a particular course of study you had hoped to pursue with maybe a career at the end of that, and you've come to realize you don't have the talent for it. Maybe a relationship that you thought was really going to be the one and turned out to end in a breakup. My mom used to talk with sadness about a lady in our congregation who was in her 80s, who had never gotten married but always wanted to be, and that she still had in her house this beautiful hope chest filled with all the things her family had given her through the years in case she were to ever get married. A turn-of-the-century English author by the name of Thomas Hardy wrote this: "The sudden disappointment of a hope leaves a scar, which the ultimate fulfillment of that hope never entirely removes." How true that is. If we could pass around a piece of paper right now and have everybody write down the top 10 hopes that you have for your life and for your future, it wouldn't take very much to break every one of them. Why do we have to face so much disappointment in this life? Why is it that the dreams and the plans that we have just so often don't quite work out the way we wish? Why is it that the hopes that we have ultimately are dead hopes? Well, the reason is because there are so many other possible factors and contingencies that can suddenly get in the way and change those plans. We're not in control of everything, and there's so many other things that can impact our lives. And so the hope that this world offers us is like a handful of baby powder that can just be blown away with the smallest event. In the context of this type of disappointment that we can live under in this world, with the dead hopes that we can have in this life, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of St. Peter, in this Eastertide, has us hear these great words: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again, note this, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Paul calls this hope that's being talked about here the hope that does not disappoint us, a hope that doesn't get blown away in the wind. It's a hope that's not subjected to contingencies or different factors. It's a hope that is grounded, firmly rooted, and planted in the already accomplished resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Saint Peter is directed by the Holy Spirit to refer to this as a living hope, one that's alive, one that is not dead and potentially going to die on us. Because there is nothing that can disrupt this hope. There's nothing that can change it for us, because God is the ultimate one in control. And notice in our text, God is telling you that through faith in Christ, you already right now possess this hope of this great inheritance in heaven. It's not just a potential. It's not just a future possibility. It's not just a really good maybe, but it is for sure. Notice, according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us to this living hope. It is his mercy that worked the faith in your heart to grab this hope that is now alive and that will not disappoint you. When God addresses believers in Scripture about heaven and their own future resurrection and about the mansion that's waiting for them, it's never in uncertainty. It's always with absolute certainty, because it's all founded in the work of Christ has nothing to do with us or anything that God couldn't possibly control. Think of all the great prophecies that God has given throughout Scripture, some of them extremely precise that took some tremendous movements in history to make them come into place and fall into place the way He wanted. It's that same type of precision that God uses when He speaks to you and me through faith in Christ about the promise of everlasting life in heaven. In the same way that God the Father required Himself to be bound to the words of prophecy that He had given about the life of Christ and His death and resurrection, He has now placed Himself under that same requirement on your behalf when it comes to the promises He gives to you about what's coming in your future. And that means you can go through this life with confidence and with hope. Many years ago, there used to be a professor that taught on this campus by the name of Jewel Madsen. As he got near the end of his life, he suffered a number of strokes. It was very clear that his life was coming to an end. One of his sons told me that when they were in the hospital, his family would come and stand around his bedside and sing hymns to him. The next day, as he was getting closer to death, the next day, one of the doctors came in and pulled one of the brothers aside and said, "You know, we do have some extreme measures we could try. There's no guarantee it could help your father, but there are some extreme measures we could try that maybe you'd like us to do. I just wanted to give you that option." And all of the brothers said, "No, he's fine. He's ready to die." And the doctor then said to them, "You know, it's interesting. I've noticed that the people that come into this hospital facing these type of situations, when there's no Christian background to them, they will try anything they can to put off death. But I've heard your family standing and singing Christian hymns at your father's bedside, and I knew that you wouldn't take me up on this option." We have a blessed living hope that God has given us in Christ. God doesn't want you to go through life with the burden of being afraid and terrified about your grave. And that's what Easter is all about and the hope that it gives us. Let me make one last point. I'll do it in a very strange way. In 1984, the Chicago Tribune reported the death of a young man who was 28 years old, a man by the name of Willie Stokes. He had been a very wealthy drug dealer in the Chicago area. This is what they reported about his funeral and visitation. From the Tribune, "He was buried in a custom-designed casket made to resemble a Cadillac Seville. At his viewing, he was propped up in the coffin with his hands on the steering wheel. The casket had functioning headlights and taillights that blinked, white wall tires, a windshield, and a vanity license plate bearing his name. He wore a flaming red suit, a jaunty gray hat, and diamond rings. Several $100 bills stuck out from between his fingers." In the end, that is the best that this world gives you. To have dollar bills stuck in your fingers, in your rigor mortis fingers, and have an awesome casket. That's it. That's all this world ultimately gives every one of us. Why would we want to live for this? It's dead. God, in the victorious resurrection of His Son, has given us a living hope, the hope of an inheritance in heaven that will never perish or fade or spoil. Live for that hope. Amen.